To hear that.
Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord.
Let's sing it to him without the music now. We're singing,
I love,
oh, I love you,
Lord.
Singing,
I love,
oh, I love you,
Lord.
Singing.
I love.
Let's sing it that way again together. We're singing. You love him tonight?
Yes.
Amen. God bless you. Certainly to be back home, to be with you, and had wonderful services there in Delaware. I heard you had some wonderful services here as well. And Lord really moved for us, preached Saturday night and Sunday morning, and just seemed like the Lord really encouraged the people there. So praise the Lord for that. Wanted to announce once again, we'll be having our youth Bible study tomorrow night here at the church in the fellowship area downstairs at 7:30. If you can drop off your children ages 10 and up for that, or if you're some of you young folks that's young enough to drive, you just come on. We'll have the basement doors open there for that. Brother John Andes, who's with us tonight, he'll be speaking at the youth Bible study tomorrow, so we'll be looking forward to that. That'll go from 7:30 to 9:30, Lord willing. For those of you needing to pick up your children, we'll try to wrap up things around 9:30. Got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord tonight. Brother Furman, he's traveling to Utah to visit some family on vacation, so I want to remember him in prayer for traveling mercies. And Sister Stephanie Duvall, she's going to be traveling this weekend. I want to remember her in prayer for traveling mercies. And then Sister Stephanie's sister, we have an unspoken prayer request for her. Her name is Julie Tharp. I want to remember her in prayer. And Brother Jimmy requested that we have a word of prayer for a family at his work. Their baby is in the hospital, so I want to remember that baby in prayer. And Sister Vera Cooley requested prayer for some longtime friends that are in their 80s. The gentleman was diagnosed with cancer, and his wife has numerous health issues, so I want to remember them in prayer. And also Sister Mary Beth said she has a friend from work named Kathy Reed that was recently diagnosed with cancer. So I want to remember these needs in prayer. We know that our God is more than able to heal cancer. Amen. Amen. We've seen him do it. We've heard the testimonies. So I believe Brother Buckles sang it Sunday morning. What he's done for others, he can do for you. He's not a God that's a respecter of persons. So when we bring these type of requests before the Lord, we can come expecting that he's going to hear and answer. And then I asked Brother John if he'd come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer. I told him if he wanted to take a couple minutes and greet you, that'd be fine. And he's from Brother Biscoe's church up in Vancouver and ministers at their church there and also the church in Seattle. And he's ministering in Tennessee, I think, at Brother Joseph Hammond's this weekend. So it's good to have him traveling our way.
Why don't we go right to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll bring a greeting now. If you have a need tonight, you can lift up your hand to the Lord. Amen. He'll speak to us tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, and we love your appearing. We want to welcome you tonight, Jesus, to our midweek service. We haven't come just to see one another or gaze upon one another's faces. We've come to gaze upon your glory, and we want to invite your presence into this service, Lord. As the hour is coming to a close, when we believe you're going to come at any time and take us home, and we want to be ready for that, Jesus. So we're not here to entertain one another, impress one another. We're here to see Jesus and open up our hearts, God. So our hands are lifted up, Lord. My hands are lifted up. We just pray, God, that you would come into this service and meet with each one of us individually. We're sheep, Lord, of the pasture. And we believe you've ordained a ministry at this end time that would be anointed under this messenger, our prophet, that would feed your people food in due season. Tonight's another night. We're going to feed around the table. And we pray, God, you would come into this service and minister to every life. From the youngest to the oldest, let us just sense your Shekinah glory and your nearness. You know all of our needs, Lord. But we want to confess our faith that you are the answer to each one of these. Lord, I'm holding these prayer requests that our brother Nathan read out. We just pray, God, that you would meet each one of them, Lord. Little children had needs. Ones in their 80s had needs, and some are traveling. Lord, minister to their hearts tonight. Lord, we don't believe this is just an exercise. We believe two or three of us can agree on anything, and that we can have the desires of our hearts. Lord, minister tonight through our brother Nathan. We thank you for his life in this church, his dear wife, Sister Rebecca, and the family. May tonight be a wonderful time of fellowship around the Word of God. May your special presence come and minister to all of us, Lord. Unspoken requests and needs that are too dear to me to even mention. May you minister tonight, Lord. We thank you. Want to open up our mouths and give you glory, Lord, and praises and forgiving us of our sins, Lord. And may you just come tonight, Jesus. We give you this time in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Would you mind to have your seats, and I'll just greet you for a moment. Amen. It's so nice to see your faces tonight. And some of us, we might have been born and raised together in this area, and maybe some of your parents we knew. But it's just good to be with Brother Nathan and the church tonight. We grew up together in the tabernacle, and when I was 16 years old, we moved to Brother Biscoll's church, and that's where we attend now. We work full-time in the ministry, and my wife is here tonight, Sister Sharon. She's from Australia. Her father's also a pastor of a message work. We've been married 25 years, have three children that all serve the Lord, which we're grateful for. Nice to have my two older brothers here tonight. Amen. I guess they got to still take care of us, Brother Nathan and Brother David. So appreciate him and Brother Daniel and their families. Isn't it great to be part of the same family? When the roll is called up yonder, nice to see you, Brother Bryant. When the roll is called up yonder, we want to be there. And we don't want anything to hinder us in our journey, no matter what it is in this life. We just want to be able to be ready for it. Isn't that our heart's desires? And for many years, we've heard of Brother Nathan and the church here, and from the different brothers that have ministered here, such a good report. And we're just passing through. And we're here tonight. I think we probably came the longest today. Amen. We woke up early in Seattle and then flew all day and came right to the service. So maybe the Lord will give us a special blessing for that. Amen. Some of you might have crossed the street or come across town, but we came all the way from Seattle to this service. Amen. We love you. And we're not gathered around a personality or just around a building. We're gathered around the person of Jesus. And may the Lord bless you and your families, your church, and your pastor. And I'm just so happy to know there's ministers that's carrying on this message. I think if Brother Branham was here tonight, he'd be so thrilled to know that these young men that he thought would carry it on to the end, now there's a whole new crop. And now there's children and more children, and still love the same message. Still believe the same prophet. And still, I believe the presence of Jesus is in this building tonight. And the same pillar of fire that was with Brother Branham is right in this service tonight. You believe that? So may God bless you, and we'll be real happy to be here tomorrow with some of your young people and children. We have a church school at our church, and so we're very happy when we spend time in devotions with the younger ones or with the teenagers. And we're just so happy to know that your children also are going to be part of this token and go in the rapture. And we want to do all we can for one another. So God bless you tonight and your dear pastor. And just to bless your church. Amen. Bless you.
I forgot to mention in the prayer request earlier, Brother John injured his back yesterday. And I know he's got some more traveling to do this weekend and some ministering to do. I'm asking, Brother Daniel, would you come? Brother Arnie and the minister brothers, I just want to anoint him with oil tonight. Just have a word of prayer for him, that the Lord just move on the scene. You just agree in prayer with us tonight for him as well.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Father, for our brother.
Lord God.
Lord, you see the injury that he's had, Father. Lord, he's got travels ahead of him, Lord, services that he's to minister in. Satan has already tried to attack and hinder the services, Father, for him. But Lord, we agree together tonight. Lord, we've seen him come on the scene and heal back instantly, Father. I just ask that you move on the scene for our brother. May you heal him just now. May your Holy Spirit come, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we grant deliverance and healing.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus Christ's name.
We are healed, Lord.
We believe in
this
gift, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. We do, Lord.
Amen.
Thank
God bless you, brother.
And we're honored to have Sister Shannon Andes with us tonight, and she's going to bless us with a special at this time.
God bless you all. I heard the song about a year ago at a youth camp, and it really blessed me. And I clung to it. And I've sung it a lot the last year when I've been in a little dark spot. So I pray for your blessing. You are perfect in all of your ways.
He is perfect. He was our perfect sacrifice. If you want to turn with me to page 665, you just pray for me. The presence of the Lord is so real. I'm a little nervous. I don't want to mess up what God's wanting to do, but I just feel His presence tonight, and I want to worship Him. Let's sing this together. I'm a child of the King as a brother. Start with the chorus.
Oh, yes. Oh, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Church, I tell you, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there. Oh, church, I tell you, he's an on-time. Whatever you're going through tonight, yes, he is. No matter what the obstacle, oh, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Well, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there. Somebody praise him tonight. Let's just worship him together. Oh, yes, he is. Lazarus could testify of this. Oh, well, he's an all-time. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, church, tonight he's an all-time. Oh, well, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there. Yes, he is. This was Mary and Martha's testimony. Oh, he's an on-time. Oh, yes, he is. We thought he was 4 days late, but we know he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, well, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there. God, yes, he is. I don't know about you, oh, but I feel like praising him. Oh, church, I feel like praising him. Yes, I do. I want to praise him in the morning. Gonna praise him all day long. Whether I'm on my job or at my school or in my car, oh, yes, I feel like praising. I want him to be welcome everywhere I go. Oh, yes, I feel like praising. Who, devil? Oh, well, I'll praise him in the morning. Gonna praise him all day long. Even when the doctor says there's no hope, oh, still I'll feel like praising. Even if my friends turn against me, oh, still I'll feel like praising, praising him. Oh, I want to praise him every morning. Gonna praise him all day long. Oh, I feel like. Why don't you shake somebody's hand beside you tonight? Ask them this question. Oh, well, why don't you praise the Lord while you have this chance? Oh, don't sit there like a bump on a log, but why don't you praise the Lord while you have this chance? Oh, church, we ought to praise him in the morning. Ought to praise him all day long. Praising him. Old church now, wide open. praise the Lord while you have this chance. Oh, church, why don't you praise the Lord while you have this chance? We ought to praise Him in the morning, ought to praise Him all day long. I feel like praising Him. Let's sing it one more time together. Oh, I feel like praising Him. Oh, yes, I feel like praising Him. I want to praise Him in the morning, gonna praise Him all day long. Oh, I feel like praising Him. Amen. Is that how you feel tonight?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. I believe we came to have church tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Furman's gone, so I'm going to have some volunteers to help me out with a few things while he's gone. But, amen. Turn with me, if you would, tonight to St. Mark's Gospel. St. Mark's Gospel, the 11th chapter. For those of you that maybe hasn't been here in a while, we've been looking for almost a year on this thought of speak the word on our Wednesday night services. And just here over the last few weeks, we've been taking the ministry of Brother Branham and looking at that. We started off in the book of Genesis, God speaking the word and speaking the worlds and the universe and the stars into existence. And then coming down to Adam being an amateur creator, looking at Abraham and Moses. Different ones, Moses speaking the plagues into existence and God using different ministries through the speaking of the word, Elijah and Elisha and Jesus Christ himself when he was here in a flesh body. Now we begin to look at Brother Branham's ministry a little bit and we just want to pick up on that again tonight with the help of the Lord. St. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 22, we read this last week but want to look at it again. And Brother John has already stole my closing scripture in his prayer. So I believe the Holy Spirit works on both ends of the line, doesn't he?
Amen.
Amen. St. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God.
Amen.
For verily I say unto you that the prophet, the pastor, the deacons, the trustees, the evangelist, whosoever.
Amen.
He didn't put a limitation. He didn't put a qualification. He didn't put a title. He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Now, there's the stipulation. It's not who the person would be or what the office would be or the age or the seniority or the knowledge or anything like that. But if they, whosoever they would be, if they would speak to this mountain and should not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have, not a maybe, not a hope so, not a we think it might be, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Amen.
Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them.
Amen.
That's a promise tonight.
Amen.
Amen. That's a promise tonight. If you have a need tonight, he didn't put a time limitation on it. Many of our problems, we begin to live in this realm of time and space, and we begin to look at it. Well, I got prayed for yesterday, and I still don't see any change. But Abraham waited on the promise one time for 25 years, but he staggered not through unbelief. He staggered not. He was strong in the faith, knowing that he who made the promise was able to bring the promise to pass. So it doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter what channel it comes. Many times we pray, Lord, if you'll just do it this way. God doesn't work that way. God a lot of times will bring it around a very different way than the way we want it or the way we think that it's going to come. But God will make a way, even if there seems like there is no way, to those that can have faith in his word. Not to those that come up and get anointed and go back to their seat and question whether they got it or not, but those that believe that they received.
Amen.
Amen. It's a promise to us tonight. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you tonight, before your throne. Lord, we just come with petitions. Lord, these prayer requests that Brother John read earlier. Lord, the different needs that are represented here tonight, Lord, in this local assembly and the other local assemblies, Father, and those around the world, Father, no doubt there's many needs for your bride, Lord, universally. But Lord, we come before you tonight, knowing that you're a God that not only hears but answers prayer. You're a God who's a very present help in times of trouble. Lord, I know there's many that have gone through trials over the past year. They've gone through dark times and dark places, and Satan's tried to rob them of their victory. He's tried to rob them of their joy. He's tried to rob them of their peace. But Father, we want to remind him tonight that he's a defeated enemy, and that you defeated him at Calvary, and that you already paid the price, and that he doesn't even have the keys to his own house. Oh, Lord, you hold the keys to death, hell, and the grave. You're a mighty conqueror, and he has to come before you and ask permission before he can even do anything to us. Lord, we have complete confidence in you tonight. Lord, as Sister Shannon sang tonight, you're a good father. Lord, we don't always understand everything that takes place, but we can have confidence tonight knowing that you're a good father. Lord, and that you do all things well. Lord, even when it seems like things aren't good, yet we know they're working for our good. You're a good father to us tonight. Lord, we just commit this service into your hand. Lord, I've got notes before me and quotes and scriptures, but Father, if there's a need tonight, Lord, help me just to go direct to that, Lord, whatever the need would be. Lord, may your Holy Spirit just anoint tonight, because we know your word is still a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Father, may you move on the scene in a mighty way in this service tonight. Lord, may you grant deliverance. May you grant victory. May you grant healing, Father, from the least to the greatest. From the youngest to the oldest, Father, may you just make yourself known to us tonight in a way that we could go home and say, didn't our hearts burn within us as you talk to us along the way? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The church said,
amen.
God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. I believe they say absence makes the heart grow fonder. And it was good being in Delaware. I enjoyed the services, enjoyed the presence of the Lord, the anointing there, and preached to a group of about 30 or so people, and just really had some wonderful services. But it's good to be home, good to see the home folks. This is the Lord's led me to go out a little bit more than I have the last few years this year, but it's good to get back home to the home folks, because that's who I believe God has called me primarily to, and I just feel his presence here tonight. So if I get a little excited, I hope you can get excited with me, and if you don't, that's okay. You don't have to. Amen. Look Away to Jesus, 1963. Brother Branham begins to tell us of this experience that he had. We're looking at this thought of speak the word. And he had been up in Colorado, and it was during the time of his anniversary. He was there hunting with some brothers. And he gets away for a while, and they begin to tell him that there's a storm that's coming in. And it's a great blizzard that's coming that way. And many of the men that didn't have four-wheel drive and things begin to leave. Brother Fred Softman and Brother Tom Simpson and different ones that were coming down for the meetings, they were warned to bypass Colorado, and this great storm was coming up. And Brother Branham begins to go up into the mountains that day to hunt and to thank God for his godly wife on their anniversary. And as he does, the blizzard begins to hit, and he, as any of us would have done, begins to go back down the mountain towards the camp. But he picks up this and Look Away to Jesus in 1963, and we're going to read quite a few quotes from this tonight with the help of the Lord. But he says, and so up on the mountain when the blizzard started, I started going down. I was just about half a mile from where I started. And the voice of God said, turn and go back. Now, this is a situation where you better make sure that it's the voice of God that's speaking to you. There's a lot of voices out there. There's all kinds of voices, all kinds of rallying cries, and all kinds of things going on even around the message and even around our own realms and ranks. But yet the voice of God speaks to him and says, turn and go back. Now, no doubt, just like you or I would, he wants to make sure that this is the voice of God speaking to him, because this is his very life at stake. Here he is trying to get down out of a blizzard into a place where he can kind of get some shelter. And the voice of God speaks to him and says, turn and go back. But many times, if it's our life, we're very careful. If it's something that's dangerous and we feel warned of the Lord, don't get on that flight, or don't go on this certain trip, or take a different highway, and we feel warned of the Lord, we're very careful, even if we're not 100% sure that it's the voice of God. Sometimes if we just feel a little funny feeling or something, sometimes we'll avoid those things. If it's something about our job and we think that there's a problem about,
you know, something that could cause problem with our job. We're very careful about that sometimes, but then many times when it comes to our spiritual life, we'll sit and swallow down anything that the devil tries to push across, whether it be somebody out in a parking lot or over a pulpit or on a phone call or whatever it would be, and we gobble down many times things when God is sitting there in our ear warning, you better be careful, you better be careful, that doesn't line up with the word. Oh, but he's a good brother. Oh, but I have confidence in him. Oh, but this or that or the other. You better listen to that still small voice of warning when it begins to speak Amen. To you. We should be more concerned about that tonight than we would be about our own physical life, or we should be about our own jobs. Those things will come and go, even our own natural life. But when it comes to that soul down on the inside, you better be careful what it's feasting on, what it's feeding on.
Amen.
And so as we looked at before, Brother Branham tells us many different places that the voice of God can speak to. He said, I am God's voice to you. And we believe that tonight. We believe he was God's voice to the bride. But he didn't stop there. He went on to say that this Bible is God's voice to you. He went on to say that God speaks through nature, that he speaks and tells the bear when to hibernate, that he speaks and tells the sap when to go down into the root of the tree. So he speaks through nature. He told us that, you know, Job, even not having a Bible, yet he could see God in nature. He could see him in the universe. He could see him in the flower. He could see him in the death, burial, and resurrection of the trees and the leaves in the springtime and the fall. And he could look and see God in nature. He speaks to us through his 9 spiritual gifts that are placed into the body. I know there's many today say, oh, we don't have need of that anymore. We don't believe in speaking in tongues and interpretation. But they'll be quick to tell you that they still believe in healings and knowledge and wisdom and those things. So I don't believe that you can separate the 9 spiritual gifts any more than you can separate the 5 ministering gifts. Now, I know there's many that pick and choose what they want, but Brother Branham taught us that he still is calling and still using the apostolic way. And in the apostolic day, they had prophets, they had evangelists, they had teachers, they had pastors, they had missionaries. And if they had them there and we're still apostolic, then we need them today. He said, oh, you say, I don't need this one, I just need that one, or I don't need that one, I just need this one. He said, that's picking and choosing what you want.
Amen.
So we still believe the voice of God speaks. He also still speaks to hearts that are willing to listen. Sometimes that still small voice. And this is the way he begins to speak to Brother Branham. He says, turn and go back. And he says a little further, and while I was sitting there and that wind twisting and blowing, treetops leaning way over, and the sleet and snow of flying like that, a voice said, I am the God of creation. I looked up and I thought, where was that? Maybe that was the wind or something. He said, I created the heavens and earth. I stilled the mighty winds upon the seas. And went on talking. I jumped up and took off my hat. And he said, just speak to the storm and it'll cease. Whatever you say, that's what will happen. And I said, storm, you cease. And sun, you shine normally for 4 days till we're out of here. He was very specific. Many times we're not very specific in our prayers, and that gets us in trouble a lot of times. Lord, if you could just do this, or you could just give that, or whatever it would be. And many times we're not specific enough. And I find in my life, God has a sense of humor. If you're not specific enough, he may give you exactly what you asked for, but if you're not specific, he may not give it to you exactly the way that you were looking for it in. He was very specific with what he spoke. He said, just speak to the storm and it'll cease. Whatever you say, that's what will happen. I believe he could have said, storm, you swirl up and go, and you go over to New Hampshire, or you go over to here, or you go over there, and it would have done whatever he spoke, because God had given him the authority. Now, that's more than name it and claim it. That's more than mind over matter. That's the unction of the Spirit coming down and anointing a Holy Spirit-filled person to speak the word. I don't believe that was just for days gone by. I don't believe that was just for Moses or even just for Brother Branham. We'll look at it in the coming weeks, some things that he said about the bride of Jesus Christ, some things that he said about us and what we're supposed to do. Whatever you say, that's what will happen. Now, you can't just go out and whatever. He didn't say whatever you want, just go out and name it and claim it. He said whatever you say, that's what will happen. It wasn't just a want or a desire. It was an anointing that was placed upon him. You remember when the couple came into the service there and he was ministering and they just began to make out right in the front row there in front of him, and God spoke and he said, I place them in your hands. Whatever you say will happen to him. A lot of preachers around the message, God could not have trusted them with that. They would have spoken them out of existence or spoke cancer on them or tuberculosis or AIDS or something. Why? Because of their bitterness and their legalism and their narrow-mindedness. Brother Branham said some people, you could put a pencil right in front of their, between their eyes and they couldn't see because they're so narrow-minded. But he places these people in the prophet's hand and he doesn't curse them. He doesn't do like Elisha and call two she-bears out of the wilderness. Brother Branham said, I couldn't believe that that was the Holy Spirit, but he said it was an angry prophet. And many times we get angry Christians around. Oh, bless God, if I could just give them a piece of my mind and if I could just do this and I could just do that. That's why God can't trust you many times with this type of anointing, is because what you would do with it. He could trust a little widow woman down there, Hattie Wright, and say, whatever you want, just speak. Why? Because she said, that's nothing but the truth. But God already knew before the foundation of the world what she would ask for. She could ask for Bill Gates's money. She could ask for Donald Trump's money. She could ask to be president. She could ask for a gold mine. She could ask to be the president of Ford Motor Company, whatever she wanted to be. She could have said it, but he had placed an anointing on her to say the right thing.
Amen.
I hope tonight he can place an anointing on us, not to just be able to say that we believe the message or that God sent a prophet. The devil believes that. But I hope he can place an anointing on us to say the right thing, to keep the right attitude, to have the right attributes being expressed. I don't want the attribute of Nathan Bryant to be expressed to you tonight. Amen. I don't want the personality or the demeanor of the Bryant family to be what is expressed to you tonight, but I just want to be a vessel that the Word of God can speak through tonight to where it's his attribute that you're seeing and not the attribute of a man. Just speak to the storm and it'll cease. Whatever you say, that's what will happen. You remember with the children, with the young people there, he said, I forgive you. That's the word that he spoke. I forgive you. Oh, God, give us that type of an attitude tonight. The type of an attitude that extends grace. Many times we're like David when, you know, he fell into sin there with Bathsheba. And Nathan the prophet came up to him and he gave him this parable. And he said, the man deserves to die. And he said, but David, you are the man. You are the man in the parable. Now he quickly turns from law to grace. Oh my God, well, you know, is there some kind of a loophole? Is there something we can do? Why? Because the focus was taken off of this random, you know, person that he didn't know and placed right in his own lap. The same thing happened to Judah when he fell into sin with Tamar there. And here he thought she was a prostitute and he goes in and lives with her. And they find her pregnant several months later. And he said, burn her. She's worthy to be burned. Let's kill her. And then she reaches back and hands his staff and his censer and his ring. And he says, wait a minute, she's more holy than I am. And suddenly it went from a cry of judgment to a cry of grace because it was placed in his lap and his responsibility and his family. Many times if we're not careful, we have a double standard that, you know, oh my, you know, everybody else has to live by this standard, but me and my family, we live by this other standard. That's never what the call of God has been for the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't follow a double standard. I want to follow a double-edged sword.
Amen.
Amen. Whatever the word says, that's what we should line up to. I'm thankful for a prophet of God that we had, as we'll look at some things that he said here later in the sermon with the help of the Lord, even about his own family, personal things that he brought, that he knew these tapes would be played over and over and over again. It would be easier for him to just kind of whitewash it and just kind of go on and pretend it didn't happen, but that just wasn't the caliber of man that he was. He wasn't just going to shove it under the table to make him and his family look good, but he was going to stay with the word, and what was right, and what was wrong, whether it applied to him or anybody else. I can follow a man like that.
Amen.
Amen. I said, storm, you cease, and sun, you shine normally for 4 days till we're out of here. And I no more than said that until the sleet, snow, and everything stopped. And a moment or two, the hot sun was shining on my back. Oh, I believe it tonight.
Amen.
Look away to Jesus again, 1963. He said, now that was the fourth time it happened. He's speaking of the word, the third pull there. And he had said that, you know, the first time it happened was down in Salem, Indiana, speaking the squirrels into existence. We looked at it last week. And the second time was down at Sportsman's Hollow, again, speaking the squirrels into existence. And he said the third time it happened was to Hattie Wright down there when he was relaying these other stories. And she said, that's nothing but the truth. He said that was the first time it was performed on a human being, but it was the third time it had happened. Now, for the fourth time, he speaks to this storm and speaks the storm out of existence. You say, you mean God would do that? Absolutely. He did it on the shores of Galilee when the winds and the waves tossed the little boat around. It began to fill up so full of waves that the disciples said, Master, don't you fear that we perish? And he woke up. He'd been so fatigued from losing virtue, being pulled out of him from people touching his garment and him praying for the sick, and virtue had gone out of him. And he lays back down on the back of the boat with his head on a pillow, and he goes to sleep, and he's so tired and so weary that the rocking of the boat doesn't wake him. The waves don't wake him. The filling of the boat doesn't wake him. And the disciples begin to shake him and say, Master, don't you fear that we perish? And he rises up and he says, Oh, ye of little faith. And he walked over and he placed his foot on the side of the ship, and he said, Winds and waves, peace be still. Peace be still. They said, Even the winds and the waves obey this man. Oh my, we had an anointing in this age. It wasn't that the man was Jesus Christ, but it was that Jesus Christ was in the man. Again, look away to Jesus. And just then I heard something in the room. He's speaking of his wife. And he tells the story. This was the fifth time that this had happened. He said that, you know, he was talking to a lady there in a restaurant one day, and she was asking him about the first pull, and he took her by the hand, and he told her, he said, You've got milk leg. And she said, Well, there's no symptoms of it. And he said, Within the next day, they were treating her for milk leg. And she said, Does that work on anybody's hand? And he said, Well, if there's something that's wrong with them, it does. And he said, There's nothing wrong with my wife. Let me take her by the hand. And he said, You've got a cyst on the ovary. And he said his little boy, Billy, was a young boy, and his little girl, Rebecca, was 2 years old at the time. And a few years later, little Sarah came along, and he said when she did that, he told the doctor, he said the children had to come as a cesarean. And he said, Oh my, he said, when you have her open there for the C-section, he said, Just take a look at that left ovary. And he said, There's nothing there, Brother Branham. There's nothing wrong. And he said, Well, it's there. What was it? It was still in germ form. Just as he could look and talk about Elvis and Lucille Ball and the Beatles and things that you look at it today compared to today's standards, and we would look at them and think of them as good neighbors or somebody that you would want to live beside you. Mind decent haircuts and, you know, things like that, and we wouldn't look at that as anything compared to today's standards. But he saw in seed form what it was going to produce. You go and you compare I Love Lucy to some of the television shows we have today, and it would look like a mockery. You'd think, Oh my, there's no swearing, there's no nudity, there's no violence, there's none of these things compared to the shows today. And my, it would look like some holy something compared to what we have today. But he saw in seed form what was entering in, and just in that way he looks in germ form and he sees this sickness that's in his wife. And it goes on along. Little Joseph comes along. He's born. He says, look at the ovary again, doctor, and see if that cyst is, if there's any problem with it. He said, There's nothing there. Time goes on. And Brother Joseph, being a little boy, you know, as little boys do, he began to act up. And Brother Branham came in. She said, You need to take him in and give him a whipping. He said, I just don't have the heart to do it. Most of you dads wouldn't either if you was gone 6 months at a time over in Africa and places, and you came back and wanted to spend a few hours with your little boy, and your wife came up and said, Spank him. He said, I've only got a few hours to spend with him. I don't want to spank him. She said, If you had to put up with what I do, and she went in and slammed the door. And he said, The Lord laid on his heart the scripture about Miriam, how it would be better if she had spit in her father's face, and she got leprosy. And the tumor on her ovary began to grow. The cyst began to grow larger and larger. Now the doctor can see it. Now it begins to get so large it's uncomfortable for her to walk. And she's going in for this surgery. He says, And look away to Jesus. And just then I heard something in the room. I looked up and a voice said, Stand up. Said, Now whatever you say, that's the way it'll be. Now it would have been easier for Brother Branham just to say, that old devil, I tell you, he's trying to attack my family. He knows that I'm a seventh church age messenger and a prophet of God. And now he's trying to attack my wife with sickness. Here we are, a holy, godly family, serving God in church, doing everything that we know how. And look at what the devil's done. He didn't throw it all off on the devil. It would have been easy for him to. Nobody knew about it but him and her. He didn't have to get up and tell this story. He didn't have to get up and give details about what happened in their private home life. His wife getting mad and slamming the door. Most of you brothers would be ashamed to tell me about it, let alone get up and tell it over the pulpit to somebody. But he was transparent and honest enough with the people to let them know, I'm not Jesus Christ. I'm not infallible. I know people don't like that, but that's what he said. He said, I'm not infallible. He said, prophets aren't infallible. He said, they're men. And they were a family. And he said, mine, all the years, that was about the only thing that they'd really had a major argument. I wish we could all testify of that tonight. I wish we could all get up here and testify of that one fight we and our wife had where she slammed the door or you slammed the door or whatever it was. I wish we could all give that one testimony tonight and be truthful. But he was a man. He was a prophet of God. He was a seventh church age messenger. But he was a man. And he was willing to get up there and tell the people, knowing that this tape would be played for 50, 60, 70 years, however long time goes on. And he gets up there and he shares this with the people. Look, this is what happened. He didn't do that to belittle his wife. He did that so that we could have a little grace for our families. Amen. I'm thankful that God allowed if I had been David, I would have pleaded with God, Brother John. Please don't put that about Bathsheba in there, Lord. Please, that's my worst mistake. Please. You said I was a man after your own heart. Put anything. Put how terrible a slingshotter I was when I first started out. Put how the little boys used to shove me around and make fun of me before I was a king and a giant slayer. Put all of that in there, but don't put that about Bathsheba. Don't put that in there. God said, I know it's embarrassing, David. I know it's your darkest hour. I know it's not something you want for people to read for thousands of years about you, but I want my people to know that I'm a God of grace. I want my people to know that when they fall into sin, that there's a way back. That when they fall into temptation, that there's a way out. That when they fall into something, that there's reconciliation to be had and there's restoration that can be made. Why? Because he's a God of restoration. Amen. We claim to follow a message of restoration, but most people, you see them doing something wrong, you just write them off and say, well, I knew all along they was a so-and-so. I knew they was just an old serpent seed. But when it comes to us, grace, grace, cried the capstone. Yeah. When it comes to our family or us, oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. But somebody else makes a mistake and, oh my, we're ready to roll up our sleeves and proclaim judgment. I'm glad we had a prophet of God that could be transparent enough for us to see some of these things in his life. They want to call him a false prophet and a cult leader. A false prophet and a cult leader would have never shared these type of stories about themselves. They would have painted you a beautiful, sunshiny picture that all was well and everything was perfect and that they were, you know, just next to Jesus. But he said, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Amen. Oh, I'm so thankful to be following a prophet of God like that. I'm so thankful because when we look at situations in the church, when we look at situations in our family, I'm thankful that we have word that we can go to and we can look and say, you know what? There were some pretty bad rascals in the Bible too. They got into some pretty bad situations, but you know what? God brought them out with a mighty hand. And that didn't just mean that they could just go out and make grace a disgrace and get away with it. No, they had to pay for their mistakes, but God provided an atonement for them. God provided grace for them. I'm so thankful to be serving a God like that tonight. Just then I heard something in the room. I looked up and a voice said, stand up. I said, now whatever you say, that's the way it will be. Now he couldn't have trusted a lot of us husbands with this. Some brothers around the message, I've talked to him. I know what they would have said. They would have said, bless God, she won't slam the door in my face anymore. Take her, Lord, and give me a new one. 20 years younger. That's what a lot of brothers around the message would have said. You say, oh, no, they wouldn't. Sure, they would have. I see them do it. I see it by their actions, what they do. Whatever you say, that's the way it'll be. He could trust him with this kind of anointing. I waited just a minute. I said, before the doctor's hand shall touch her, the hand of God shall take the tumor away and it won't even be found. That settled it to me. I never called her. Oh my, some of you sisters would have been stressed out. Here you have a prophet husband. God tells him, speak the word, and he doesn't even call and tell you it's okay. He knew it was okay. He knew it was okay. I never called her. We went right on, went and got Billy and Lois and went to Shreveport. The next night I called her, she was happy. She said, Bill, I want to tell you. Here she is, and she can verify this. Had to hobble her way over there. Went in the room with the nurse and Mrs. Norman. And put her clothes on for the gown, for the examination. The doctor came out and she could hardly get on the table. The tumor hanging up there so big. And when the doctor come in and was talking to her and he came back over to raise back the sheet to touch her. And just before he touched her, it left. And the doctor didn't know which side it was on. He said, wait a minute. With the draw diagrams and all the pictures and everything else, he couldn't find one trace of it. He examined her over and over. He said, I might not be able to explain it. But Miss Branham, that tumor isn't there. And she has never had one symptom of it since. Why was it? Notice, just exactly the way it said, before the doctor's hand can touch it. Now, I thought he said it. I thought Brother Branham said it. He said just exactly the way it said, before the doctor's hand can touch it. That was more than a man speaking his desire. That was the anointing of the Holy Spirit speaking through lips. I believe he can still do it tonight. I believe he still, with groanings that can't be uttered, you know, he still speaks and prays and intercedes for people. Maybe sometimes you don't even realize what you're doing. Maybe you're driving in the car and God just placed somebody on your heart. I was driving in the car today and I saw a car. I don't want to embarrass her, but it was a car that looked just like Sister Cheryl's today. And I was driving down the road. I thought, oh, that looks like Sister Cheryl's car. And it wasn't. I went on by and I drove about a mile later and there was another car that looked just like Sister Cheryl's car. And I drove on. I thought, well, that's kind of strange, isn't it? I saw a third car within about another mile, looked exactly like hers. I said, Lord, you're trying to do something here. And so I just bowed my head and prayed for Sister Cheryl. Now, I don't know what she was going through. I'm not a prophet. I can't tell you the circumstances or whatever, but maybe she needed prayer right then. And what was it? It wasn't me. I didn't know. It was God saying, here's a sign, here's a sign, here's a sign. Say a prayer for my daughter. Amen. It wasn't me. Amen. I didn't put the cars there. I didn't orchestrate it. It was him. Before the doctor's hand can touch it, one split second, and his hand would have touched it. How perfect is the word of the Lord? How perfect is the word of the Lord? We looked at it last Wednesday night, I believe it was. The Lord led me down that path to talk about the little fish there. And I was sharing it with the people in Delaware as well this weekend. How that little fish, I've got one, brother, I'm okay, I'm just not paying attention. That little fish that was in the little boy's basket, the five loaves and the fishes. And this little fish, God had to somehow get that fish there to feed 5,000 people. And his great-great-great-granddaddy was the fish swimming out in the Sea of Galilee. And when his great-great-granddaddy was a little egg, God had already predestinated, actually before the foundation of the world, but in we'll just take it to at least germ form instead of thought form. Here he is in germ form and his great-great-granddaddy, this fish swimming in the Sea of Galilee, and God predestinates a fish to be in a little boy's basket. And from that little egg comes another, his great-great-granddaddy, and then his great-granddaddy, and then his daddy. And my, they would swim around and they, you know, maybe almost get caught before they could pass this gene on. And here, this little fish, he's born and he grows up to a certain size. And a man standing there fishing one day and throws the fishing rod in there or the net or whatever he was catching with. And he gets it and maybe he's, you know, got to make a living. And he takes this fish and he flaps it down there on the market table. And he says, how much will you give me for these fish? And the market buys it. And a little lady going through shopping for a little boy some groceries the next day sees out of all the fish that was laying there, maybe hundreds of fish laid out on these different tables in the market. And she reaches down and picks up that fish and places it in her basket. And the little boy goes to lunch the next day or goes to school and his mother has wrapped this little fish in a basket for him with some bread. And the creator of heavens and earth stands there and multiplies creation through this predestinated little fish. If he could do all that to orchestrate that fish to be in that basket for that little boy to give something to Jesus, it was very inadequate to feed 5,000. I'll tell you tonight, I'm very inadequate to speak before the bride of Jesus Christ. But if I can give my inadequacy to him or these other ministers or whoever it would be, if you can give your inadequacy to him, he'll take something and do something with it. Amen. This little boy's few little fishes and loaves, it was absolutely impossible by science, by human nature, by human thinking, a reasoning to feed 5,000 with this little basket that he had, but he gave it to Jesus and Jesus multiplied what he had. He can multiply your efforts tonight. He can multiply whatever, you know, he can. I'd rather have 10 cents in my pocket and know that God was with me because he can multiply that 10 cents than to have $1 million and be serving the devil because it can be gone like that. He's a God of creation. He's a God that's able to multiply creation. And if he could orchestrate all that in the background to get a little fish in a basket, how much more did he orchestrate everything to get your parents or you or whoever it was to come across this message and somebody hand them a tape or tell them about a prophet of God to orchestrate it so that you could be sitting here tonight in heavenly places with Christ Jesus? You say, oh, Brother Nathan, the minister that showed me this, he doesn't even believe the message anymore. It doesn't matter. The shuck always pulls away from the wheat, but that seed had to come up all the way through the shuck and the different stages, and it went through and passed through that stalk and everything, but there was a real true wheat that was coming. Oh, many times it's not the wheat that pulls away from the chaff. It's the chaff that pulls away from the wheat. Amen. We didn't kick the defectors out. They walked away from the message. But yet, what was it? You say, oh, my brother so-and-so, he married me and my wife, and now he's left the message. I just don't know what to do, Brother Nathan. You didn't marry him, did you? I received the Holy Ghost in Brother so-and-so's message, and he doesn't even claim to believe God sent a prophet anymore. What should I do, Brother Nathan? Did I really get it? He didn't give it to you.
Amen.
Brother Bram said a puppy dog can sit on an egg, and it'll cause the egg to hatch out and give a birth because of an atmosphere. That doesn't mean that puppy was that egg's daddy. Oneness of Unity, 1958. Brother Branham, I love this quote. I ran across it the other day, and I'm sure I've heard it many times in Oneness of Unity, but I never looked at it this quite this way. Brother Branham begins to give some of his references. Oneness of Unity, 1958. Call my city. Call the mayor of the city, Mr. Hoddenpell. Call the judge. Call the police force. Call Dr. Sam Adair, the greatest doctor in the South, the big clinic. Ask him what visions take place. Ask them if it's true. These are his references. Oh, I know there's a lot of people, they run their mouth, and they've got a newspaper clipping over here, and they've got somebody that went and did research over there, and they've got a naysayer over here and a naysayer over there, and most of them, if you look at their lives, they've left their wives and living with younger women, or they're drug addicts, or they've been in jail 17 times, or whatever it would be. I wouldn't follow men like that across the street, let alone away from the message. But he gives his references. These are his references. Call the mayor of the city. He didn't say call Brother Neville and ask him. He didn't say call my trustee board or my deacon board. He didn't say call, you know, don't call some yes man. Call the mayor. He's a Church of Christ man. Go ask Jack Vissing, his son, Church of Christ man. See what he says about it. Ask the judges. Go ask the police force. Go ask Dr. Sam Adair. Ask him what kind of visions take place. Ask them if it's true. Yes. Call Dr. Sam Adair tonight and ask him what he does when he gets in a hard place. He comes up to my house, gets down on his knees, and there he lays before God, he and I, till God shows a vision. And ask him if ever one time it failed. All right. Ask him. Ask some eyewitnesses. Ask Brother Biscoll, ask Brother Collins, ask some of these men that stood there and saw it in action. Don't ask these people that are looking on the internet to try to find something to see if they can find a news article. Ask some of the men that stood there and saw it and were eyewitnesses.
Amen.
Ask them if it ever one time failed. I wonder if you could convince Bud Sothwick that it failed once he saw a grizzly bear where there was no grizzly bear. I wonder if you could convince him that it failed once he saw his brother who was an epileptic, who Brother Bram said that he'd got it from a gene that was back in their granddaddy and it skipped a generation and went to Bud Sothwick's brother. I wonder if you could convince him after he'd been healed and epileptic and Brother Branham told him exactly what to do, if you could convince him that it ever one time failed.
Wow.
I wonder if you could convince Hattie Wright or Georgie Carter or some of those that was raised from the dead and different ones. I wonder if you could ask them if it ever failed one time. The problem is you're asking the wrong people. He's given you some references to ask, and these aren't biased references. These aren't message people. These aren't his church members. Mayors and judges and police officers and doctors. Most of them nominal men. Some of them not even Christians. Ask him if ever one time it failed. Call him at my expense. Dr. Sam Adair runs a big clinic there. Ask him however he got the clinic there. Now, I was looking some things up about this today, and I stumbled across one of these stupid posts that they come up with trying to disprove Brother Branham, and they had a newspaper clipping there and said, oh, you know, the Voice of God needs to change their tourist information because the address that it said in this newspaper clipping where Dr. Sam Adair's doctor's office was different than where Brother Branham said. But they made the mistake of including the source that they got it from. It was from 1934, before Brother Branham even received a commission from an angel. So yeah, his doctor's office probably was there then. But go and look, research a little further after the vision. Go and research a little further after he got the clinic and not just the doctor's office that he inherited from his daddy. Oh, they look and they beat their heads against the wall and they remind me of those birds Brother Branham talked about out there by the Statue of Liberty. They said, what is this? The man said, oh, there's a great storm came in the other night. And he said they saw the light in the Statue of Liberty there and they beat their brains out trying to beat out the light. That's what many of them have done. Now, these minister brothers will steal some of this and take it back, but that's okay. I do the same thing to them. Some of them write that down. Beating their brains out, trying to keep beat out the light. That's what they're doing around this message. They're wasting their time. They're wasting their energy. They're wasting their breath trying to beat out the light. And the only thing they do is beat their brains out. Beating their brains out, trying to beat out the light. Can you imagine a little pigeon? I'm going to beat the light out of the Statue of Liberty. And there he lays with his brains beat out, laying at the foot of the Statue of Liberty. That's how a lot of them are today. Some of the stuff they come up with is so ridiculous. Why? They've beat their brains out trying to put out the light. Ask him if ever one time it failed. Call him at my expense. Dr. Sam Adair runs a big clinic there. Ask him how he ever got the clinic there. Now, would this make sense to you if he was standing here giving the people the wrong address and they could walk 2 blocks over or 3 blocks or however far away it is to Maple Street there and say, there's no Sam Adair here? That doesn't even make good sense, Brother John. But they're looking at it in 2017, you know, and trying to twist and turn all these things. Why would it make sense for this man to get up in a congregation of poor people that came through the time of the Depression and men and women who, many of the men probably either worked on the bridge or had relatives that worked on the bridge and say 16 men fell to their death when there could be people that could stand up and say that? No, my granddaddy worked on that bridge. That's not true. Why would he do it? If he was a self-proclaimed prophet, as they say he was, why would he make such claims that could be so easily proven wrong in his age if it were wrong? Doesn't even make sense. But like a lot of people still in the message, they come up with all these ideas and they think, oh, I think it's going to be this and I think it's going to be that. And they just run with it and they don't even think, even logically, lay aside the Bible and the message and just think logically. Some of it's so ridiculous, it's pitiful. I've heard people around the message say, oh, my. You know, if you live more than 700, or I think it was more than 100 miles away from Jeffersonville, a brother told me when I was a little boy, I was friends with his children. He said, if you live more than 100 miles away from Jeffersonville, you can't be in the rapture. I wish I could go back and tell him what I thought at the time, but I was so much his younger, I guess I didn't feel. I was probably about a 15-year-old boy, but I thought, I guess Brother Branham didn't make it because he was living in Tucson at the time he died. They don't even think their own doctrines out, Brother Jimmy. When he would stand and say it's a universal rapture over and over and over, but they come up with some harebrained idea and begin to teach it and tell people, and I believe it's this, I believe it's that. Many of them say, I believe Brother Branham comes in the resurrection, he's going to just point at Los Angeles and it's going to fall in. He's going to stand with 1 foot in the Pacific Ocean and 1 foot on the land and say, time will be no more. Well, I wonder what we'll do through the 1,000 years of millennium if he does that. This is still on, right? Ask him if ever one time it failed. What is it? Looking at the wrong sources. Going to the wrong people for information. I've had many of them walk away from the message. Get on websites. Get on news reports. Get on all these things and get out there and look. And I've asked him. I've almost begged him. Come and talk to me. These questions that you have, I have answers for them. Not me because I'm intelligent, but because the Holy Spirit and because just study and good common sense. They won't do it. Why? They've already made up their mind. Ask him if ever one time it failed. Call him at my expense. Dr. Sam Adair runs a big clinic there. Ask him how I ever got that clinic there. When he was up at my house crying and said the city needs a clinic, and I told him right where it'd be built, and he said, he'd build it. He said, you can't buy that place. Said 25 years from now it's in courts in Boston. I said, thus saith the Lord, it'll be yours before 24 hours. This is more than I hope so, or I guess so, or I predict. This is thus saith the Lord, you'll have it within 24 hours. Brother Branham, he said, oh, I don't want to doubt you, but you'll have to show that one to the old doctor. He said, within 24 hours, he said, it's tied up in courts for 25 years, the deed and everything else and the way it was orchestrated. I don't know what all God did in the background to make this come to pass. I don't know what changes had to be made, what errors had to be found for them to realize this wasn't the case. I don't know what paperwork was involved or whatever happened. I can't give you a paper trail and prove it to you. All I know is once thus saith the Lord was spoken, it was going to happen no matter what anybody said or thought or did.
Amen.
It'll be yours before 24 hours. Amen. And I said you'll have a clinic there. It'll be made out of red brick. This is more than there's somebody with a backache over in this section. I've told you before, I can do that. I studied enough psychology even as a homeschooler to know a little bit about that. There's somebody with a headache over here. Maybe there is. Maybe it was God that led me to say that tonight. That'll make me a prophet. But he doesn't just say, you're going to have a clinic. He tells him where the clinic's going to be, what the clinic's going to be look like, and when he's going to get the clinic. You'll have a clinic there. It'll be made out of red brick. You'll have a sign at the door and so forth and like that. He said, Billy, I wouldn't doubt you for nothing, son. I said, the Lord has given it to you, doctor. Call him tonight and ask him what's taking place. Here's some references he's giving. The next morning he called me and said, I'm freezing to death. They just called me and something happened last night and we bought the place already. And ask about cases that he sends up there with cancer, eat up, no hope at all. We'll pray over. He run out. Me out to the hospital. We'll get into the room and shut the door. The Lord will show a vision, either saying just when they're going or just what will happen. Ask him if it ever failed.
Right.
This wasn't a member of the Branham Tabernacle. This was just a doctor. Ask him if it ever failed. I had one of them contact me a few years ago. He'd been searching and searching and searching, trying to prove that there wasn't 16 men on the bridge. And he told me, he said, well, we found out there was 2 death certificates. He said, Branham was wrong. It was 2, not 16. And I said, well, a year ago you told me there were 0. So you're an eighth of the way there. You just keep digging. I don't have a death certificate to prove Lazarus died and rose again. I don't have a snapshot of Jonah in the belly of the whale. I don't have a Polaroid of Paul on the road to Damascus. I don't have a black and white glossy of Moses at the burning bush. But I believe it.
Amen.
In this age, we've had more scientific proof, photography, eyewitness accounts, letter after letter after letter of testimonies of healings. I've sat and talked with many of the saints that was in the services themselves and saw and was healed themselves and different things. And people still walk right on and don't believe it. Why? There's nothing in them to believe with.
Amen.
Look away to Jesus, 1963. And a fellow down here, Shimp's Candy Place, is Mr. Shimp here tonight? I'd like for him to tell it if he's here. Sonny Shimp, great healthy man. Many times when I hate to say this, but it's the truth. Here again, he doesn't have to tell this part of the story. A lot of the legalistic followers of the message would probably rather he didn't tell this story. But he does it anyhow. I hate to say this, but it's the truth. Pop used to give me a dime if I worked all week. And I'd come around and park my bicycle around at Brother Mike Egan's place. One of the trustees here with Jimmy Poole. I think his son is here tonight. Jim and Ernest Fulcher and I. Ernest Fisher. I'm going to get in trouble tonight, Brother Daniel. Jim and I and Ernest Fisher. And we would go downtown and go to the picture show for a nickel. And we used to see the old still pictures. We was little kids and wanted to about 8-10 years old. We had that William S. Hart. Many of you guys don't remember him, the old actor. He's talking about this silent film cowboy actor, William S. Hart, that he'd go watch his movies. Still pictures, and I couldn't read. I'd just have to watch what was going on, and it would have to spell it all out, and I couldn't make it, but I'd watch what he was doing. And I'd have an extra nickel, and how many remembers getting a penny ice cream cone, all right? I could get 3 ice cream cones and 2 pennies worth of Red Hots. My inflation has certainly gone on since that time, hasn't it? I couldn't hold the ice cream cone, so I would eat them and get me 2 pennies worth of Red Hots, and it would be almost half a pound of them, and Shimp's made them. And I'd go in there and sit back and watch William S. Hart and this young fellow, a little older than I, stricken down with the disease that 5 noted specialists of Louisville passed him by. weighing about 45 pounds and was dying. Mrs. Morgan was nursing him. And Mrs. Morgan, you remember, she was from Phoenix, Arizona initially. Her husband was a plumber. And she died in the prayer line with cancer in her heart. And before she even got to him, and was raised from the dead there. Miss Morgan, he says, was nursing him. And he was in such a condition. He had so many things. His lungs was gone. His throat was gone. His little arms was just about that big around. He was lying there dying. And Mrs. Morgan was hired to come on the job. So she said to him, "I was once the cancer patient," and began to tell him. He said, "Who did you say? Billy Branham?" "Why," I said, "I've sold him a bunch of Red Hots and ice cream cones." He said, "Wonder if he'd come and pray for me." And I went over to pray for Junie Schimpf. And now if you would like to talk to him, it's Schimpf's Candy down here right next door, or second door down from LaRoe's Theater down the street. Now here's a picture. This is LaRoe's Theater where he used to go watch William S. Hart. And you see there's a store in between there that actually now Schimpf's is remodeling to take in. And two doors down there is Schimpf's Candy Store where he'd go and get the Red Hots. Schimpf's Candy, all of you here knows where that's at. It's one of the oldest established in Jeffersonville. This is the oldest picture I could find of the inside of Schimpf's years and years ago. And while lying there dying with five specialists giving him just hours to live, it was thus saith the Lord, "You'll not die, but you'll sell me Red Hots over the counter." There was a man a while back put a notice, said he was still waiting to hear one vision that was ever given before Brother Branham told that it already came to pass. He said, "Show me one vision that he prophesied of before it came to pass." And I sat down and wrote 17 off the top of my head. This isn't just something that's on tape. You go down to Schimpf's Candy Store tomorrow. I've got a picture of the sign here in a minute. They're not message believers, what we would call. But there's a sign in their store that tells this testimony of what happened and how what he told him before it happened. "Thus saith the Lord, you'll not die, but you'll sell me again Red Hots over the counter." Lord, I know he got well. Long had I forgotten that. And wife and I was going to buy some candy when we got here at Christmas. We'll just skip over that tonight. We'll pick that up some other time. Buying candy at Christmas. All right. Remember that, Brother Layton. You mean a prophet of God would do that? I thought we didn't believe in Christmas around the message. Oh, my. How I don't know that we ever thought of Schimpf's, because usually go over here to some of the drug stores and pick it up, but we stopped in front of Schimpf's. When I went in, his sister looked over and she said, "Well, Brother Branham," she said, "you remember Junie?" I said, "Yes, and they're a great, big, strong, healthy-looking fellow." This is Junie Schimpf on the left here, standing in Schimpf's confectionery. I walked over to the counter, looked at it, looked down like this. I said, "I'll take a pound of those Red Hots," and he said, "Yes, sir." So his sister was waiting on my wife. And so he got them out. And I said, "I used to eat them a long time ago over here." And the picture shows, keep my head down. And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Many of the kids buy that. They still buy," I said. He said, "My father made that, fixed up that formula." I said, "I really like them." Now after he got it all fixed out and handed it to me, he said, "Is there anything else?" I said, "I don't know." And raised up, "Oh my." He said, "Brother Branham," I said, "here's the Red Hots that I told you thus saith the Lord about 5 years ago." He said, "Brother Branham, I'm so completely healed, there's not even one effect." Amen. Brother Barry Coffey preached on it when we was at the minister's meeting there in North Carolina on living in the vision. And this man was living in the vision. He didn't even realize it. Here it was transpiring right before him and he didn't realize it. Brother Branham said, "Here it is. Here's the vision 5 years ago, thus saith the Lord." Brother Biskel shared the testimony. I think it was Brother Barry said that he asked Brother Biskel, said, "How many times did Brother Branham tell about the silver tip grizzly and the caribou before it actually took place?" And he said, "That's easy. He told me 5 times. He said, he told me on the phone. He told me at the meetings." I always forget, Brother Hoover, where is it? Dawson Creek. He told me at the meetings at Dawson Creek. He said, "Then he told it to my family. He told me and the brothers on the way up there. And then he told Brother Bud and the different ones in the camp the day before it happened." And he said, "Here, all the checkered shirt and the little hands and the measuring tape and the length and all of this." And nobody had a green checkered shirt that they knew of there. But Brother Biskel told his wife, he said, "Burn that old shirt." He said, "It's got holes in it and everything." But she just stuffed it in the bottom of his hunting bag. And he goes out there and he falls in the creek and got wet or something that day. And he goes in and changes in the tent. And he doesn't look down and think, "I'm fulfilling a vision." He just puts the shirt on. Right. He goes out there and the silver-tipped grizzly and the caribou and all this, and they get it down there, and Brother Branham had seen the little hands, Blaine, putting the measuring tape on there and measuring everything, and they're putting it there, and Brother Barry said, Brother Biscoll told him, he said, Brother Branham just kind of steps back from the group and is looking. And he said, when those little hands go down there, he pointed, and he said, that's it, that's the vision. They were living in it. They were fulfilling it, walking right in it, and didn't recognize what was taking place. I wonder how many times is the bride of Jesus Christ living out our normal day in Laodicea, living the word that has been brought in this age. Do we fail to recognize? You're walking in the vision, Brother Hoover. Brother John, you're walking in the vision. Brother Daniel, Brother Layton, Brother Arnie, these different brothers, not just to the minister brothers. I'm saying that to them tonight because sometimes the encouragers need a little encouraging. But you write your name in there. You're walking in the vision. Amen. You sisters, when Satan tries to tempt you to wear your skirts too short or to cut your hair and you tell him to go take a hike, you're walking in the vision. Right. When he tells you it doesn't matter about the way you dress and the way you live and the things you watch and you tell him, shut up, Satan, that's contrary to the word, you're living in the vision.
Amen.
When you come to church to fulfill what the scripture said of assembling ourselves together, even the more as we see the day approaching, even sometimes when you don't feel like it. I'm sure Brother John probably didn't feel like it tonight with his back hurting him the way that it was, but I'm hoping we hear a testimony before the service is over that all is well. Amen. If it doesn't happen tonight, it'll happen tomorrow night. If it doesn't happen tomorrow night, it'll happen. Why? Because two or three agreed together. Amen. I believe it tonight. What is it? Even when you don't feel like it, what are you doing? Fulfilling the word. Walking in the vision. Thus saith the Lord about 5 years ago. He said, Brother Branham, I'm so completely healed. There's not even one effect. Now, that's what the tape says. But let me pull this up here. This is the sign at Shimp's of the Red Hots, the testimony. And the first paragraph just tells about how the Red Hots were made and things. But the second paragraph there says, in the late 1950s, Brother Billy Branham, founder of Jeffersonville Branham Tabernacle, visited candy maker Sonny Shimp when Sonny was very ill in the hospital. He assured Sonny that he would again sell him Red Hots across the counter. Sonny make a complete recovery and indeed sold many more batches of his famous Red Hots. Presently, members of the Tabernacle come from all corners of the globe to buy Shimp's Red Hots and commemorate the promise that Billy Branham made. I would like to say it wasn't just Billy Branham that made the promise. Amen. It was God that made the promise. It was the spoken word through a vindicated prophet. I don't care how many doubt. I don't care how many walk away. I believe it tonight.
Amen.
I believe it tonight. That's not the testimony of a message follower. That's not the testimony of a church member that follows the message. That's just some nominal person seeing what God did in this age. St. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. I'm trying to close tonight. If the musicians would come. Again, I say unto you, this is what Brother John stole from me this morning, earlier in this prayer. He already quoted this one to you. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. When we gather in his name, we don't just gather in the name of Church of the Open Door or whatever church name it would be. We don't just gather under the name of the message or under the name of Brother Branham, although I'm not ashamed of those things. We was at a car wash the other day and a man from Coots' funeral home came up to me. He said, oh, you're a Branhamite, aren't you? And I said, well, we follow Brother Branham's message. I'm not ashamed of that. They would have called me a Mosesite in Moses' day. They would have called me a Noahite in Noah's day. But as I said the other night, I would have followed Noah right up that ramp. They could have said, oh, you're following a man. You're following a man. I would have said, yep, I'm going to follow my man right up into that ramp. And you follow yours right to the bottom of the water. Everybody's following somebody. The problem is many are just following the wrong person. I don't follow Brother Branham just because of the gifts or the signs or the wonders. I follow it because it was a vindicated message and because it wasn't contrary to this word, but it dovetailed perfectly with what the word said, and because he followed Christ, so I can follow him just as he followed Christ. If I would have been in Paul's day, I wouldn't have been ashamed and hid or shred his letter where he said, follow me as I follow Christ. I would have said, praise the Lord, Paul, I'll do it. Amen. You say, how do you know that, Brother Nathan? Because I'm doing it in this age. Amen. How do you know? You say, oh, I don't know if I could have made it in this age or that age. Oh, yes, you would have. If God predestinated you for that age, you would have done the exact same thing you're doing in this age. It might have been hard. The trials might have been hard. They're pretty hard in this age, too. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. When we get over there, I believe there'll be groups of people that gather up around us and say, you mean you came out of Laodicea? You mean you came out of Laodicea? God trusted you enough to put you in that dark, evil age where there was so much temptation and so much confusion and so much arguing and so much backbiting. God trusted you enough to place you and make you an overcomer in that age. We think of Daniel and the lion's den, David and Goliath, and the ones that we want to get over and shake their hands. I believe there'll be many come up to us and say, Brother Hoover, I want to shake your hand. You overcame in Laodicea. Amen. Brother Jimmy, I want to shake your hand. Brother Luke, Brother David, Brother Stephen, Brother Lee, different ones. I want to shake your hand. You withstood Laodicea, and you came out an overcomer. What a testimony. What a testimony. Oh, you have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of little David in his sling. You have heard the story told of trusty Jimmy. And of Bill Layton, the deacon we often sing. There are many, many others in Laodicea. I would like to meet them all, I do declare. But it's not about us, but God's own son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Amen. You want to be there? Amen. He's good to us, isn't he? Amen. This is more than a story tonight. This is more than a quote or a scripture. This is more. This isn't Walt Disney. This isn't fables. We haven't followed after men's cunning fables, but after a vindicated word of God. I was sharing some of the testimonies with the church in Delaware there, telling them things that we've seen just even in the last few weeks, different things that's taken place. Brother Isaac Weber, he broke his glasses and he was going to have to get a new pair, and he came up for prayer for his eyes. His vision was just blurry and everything. And a couple services later on a Wednesday night, I think it was this last Wednesday night, the Spirit of the Lord just began to fall in the service, and he was sitting back there, and the Lord just spoke to his heart, said, I can heal you right now. And he opened up his eyes, and everything was perfectly clear. Sister Lori came into the same service, and she'd been in so much stomach pain that day, she almost didn't come to church. And Satan trying to tell her she had an ulcer and all kinds of things, and she made it to church anyhow. And before church even started, before anybody could lay hands on her or pray for her, she just knelt in her pew at the beginning of service, and she said, as soon as my knees touched the floor, it was gone, and it hasn't come back. Amen. He's still Jehovah Jireh. He's still Jehovah Jireh. I don't know if Sister Sizemore's here tonight or not, but she was scheduled for a leg surgery here and came up for prayer. And the doctors had said that her main arteries were clogged and that they were going to have to do a surgery on her legs because she wasn't getting circulation. She came up for prayer, and when she went back for the test for the surgery, they said, ma'am, they said, your main arteries are clogged. But they said there's another arteries. I can't remember the name of them right now. Sister Jennifer, do you remember, or Brother Stephen, you remember the name of those? I can't remember the name of the type of arteries that it was, but it's an artery that's normally closed. They said those arteries have opened and done a natural bypass, and you have perfect circulation in your legs. Amen. He's still the great physician. Amen. He did a bypass surgery. She didn't have to have any anesthesia, didn't have to be put under, didn't have to have a scalpel, didn't have a scar. God, the architect of her body, did a bypass surgery on her. Amen. He's still Jehovah Jireh tonight for whatever you have need of. He's still a present tense help. Amen. Let's just bow our heads tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you see the different needs represented here tonight. Lord, I've read the quotes. I've read the scriptures. Lord, we see, Lord, what you've done in this age. Lord, how that not just a name it and claim it, but a speaking forth of the word through the unction of the Holy Spirit to speak something that would encourage, to speak something that would grant deliverance and healing, to speak something that, Lord, it would take your word to do when every doctor had said it was impossible. Lord, when all the circumstances looked contrary, Lord, yet your spoken word could go forth through the lips of a human being and you would bring it to pass, Father. Lord, I believe you're still that God tonight. Lord, reading your word tonight, Lord, how you said, if we come together in your name, wherever two or three are gathered, it's not about numbers and crowds, Father. Lord, I appreciate those that are gathered here tonight, but if there was just two or three of us, if we came sincerely in your name, you'd still be here. You'd still meet us here. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for that comfort and that consolation to know that we're not just meeting with one another. Lord, it's good to see our brothers. It's good to see our sisters. Lord, shake their hands and fellowship with them and go out and get a bite to eat with them after service. I appreciate that. I appreciate the encouragement and the fellowship and, Lord, just the camaraderie with brothers and sisters of like precious faith to be able to fellowship around things that we have in common. But, Lord, if that's all that it is, Brother Bram said, we're no more than a lodge. We could join a lodge and have fellowship with people. We have things common. But, Lord, it's more than a gathering. It's more than a group of people. It's more than coming and sitting and hearing a man speak. It's more than singing some songs and playing some music. But, Father, when we come together in your name, then you're in our midst. Lord, as my little girl was saying on the way to service tonight, she said, I wish Jesus was here so he could pray for us. I said, honey, Brother Branham said, when we pray in the name of Jesus, that is the same as him praying for us. Help us to recognize the authority we have as the bride. Lord, not to name it and claim it, but when that unction of the Holy Spirit is there to speak forth, Lord, I believe it'll come to pass. Lord, if your word said that if any two agree as touching anything, Lord, I know just last Wednesday night there were several that came and spoke things. They wanted to speak the word for their situations and circumstances in their lives and their families. Lord, and two or three agreed together for those things. Lord, I don't know how it'll come to pass. I don't know when it'll take place. But I'm resting in your word tonight, Father. I'm depending on your word because your word, Father, when you said it, it'll be. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know where, but I have confidence and I'm resting in your word tonight. I'm resting on your promises. Lord, for those that have loved ones that have strayed, Lord, we're claiming the token for them tonight. We're not just going to give up and let Satan have them, Father, but we're applying the token. Lord, may your Holy Spirit go after them and bring them back. Lord, do whatever it takes, Father. Lord, move on the scene for these situations. For those that are sick in body, maybe the doctors have given them up. Lord, we've seen the doctors heal disease, not the doctors, but you heal, Lord, diseases that the doctors said was incurable. We've seen you move on the scene and heal when the doctor said there was no hope. We've seen you deliver. We've seen you, Lord, change x-rays from a curved spine to a straight spine. We've seen you heal when the doctor said that there was hepatitis B to say not only was there no hepatitis B, but that the person was completely immune to hepatitis B, Lord. We've seen you do these things. We have no reason to doubt you, Lord. We have a great cloud of witnesses around us tonight of things that we've seen you do. Lord, you're not a respecter of persons. If you cared enough to do that for one person, Lord, if we'll meet you on those same grounds, if we'll meet you on that same basis, Lord. Brother Brandon put it this way. He said, if we can take the right mental attitude towards any divine promise, that you would bring it to pass. Help us, Lord, to approach you on those terms tonight. Lord, maybe there's financial needs. Maybe there's family needs. Maybe there's spiritual needs. Maybe there's some that need delivered of addictions or temptations. Maybe there's some that need victory. Maybe they've lost the joy of their salvation. They need their joy back. Lord, help us to take the right mental attitude tonight and say that it's finished, regardless of what the devil tries to say, regardless of what comes and goes. May we drive down a stake tonight and say, tonight is the night. We accept it, Father. We're not turning back. We're not turning to the left or to the right. We're not going to stagger at the promise through unbelief. But we're going to stay strong, believing that the one that gave the promise is more than able to keep the promise. Help us to have that kind of faith tonight, Father. Lord, if we're truly Abraham's seed, then we'll have that kind of faith. Lord, help us to have an unwavering, unshakable faith that's grounded in your word. Not in the opinions of man, not in the doctrines of man or the traditions of man, but help us to have our faith anchored in your word, Father. Oh, Lord Jesus, may you grant it for each one here tonight, Lord. Lord, may they reach out and touch you tonight. Whatever they have need of, Lord, may they reach out and touch you. May they touch that hem of your garment again tonight, supernaturally, Father. May you just walk by each aisle, each pew, each seat, Father. Lord, may you speak to hearts. May they reach out with the faith to touch you for what they have need of. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Oh, amazing grace, shall always be my song of praise. For it
I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond all my faults, all my faults, all your mistakes, saw our need. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary, to the cross where Jesus died for you.
Aren't you glad he looked down through time? He looked past your mistakes. He looked past your humanity. I shall forever live. Oh, we weren't worthy, but he was worthy. Thank you, Lord. Just to view the cross where Jesus died for.
Let's stand and worship him tonight. Oh, I shall forever mine eyes.
Oh, help us, Father, just to look to the cross, to cling to the cross, to view the cross where my Jesus died. Oh, what do you need tonight? He'll still look beyond that fault, beyond that mistake, and see the need.
Listen to a tape today, way back in 1953. All things are possible. Just a short, about a 33-minute tape, almost all of its prayer line. Brother Branham was talking to the people there. He said, if he was physically here in a physical body, he couldn't heal you. He said, he's already done it. It's already a finished work. Whatever you have need of tonight, it's already a finished work. He already paid the price. Sister Tina and them sing sometimes, once was enough for me. He don't have to come and die again for me. He don't have to come and do all kinds of things. And I don't have to come and do all kinds of works to inherit it or deserve it or earn it. There was nothing I could do to deserve what he did for me. There was nothing I could do to inherit it. He already paid the price. He already paid the price. He already took care of it. He paid the bill. Satan might try to come and send you something, say, oh my, you're delinquent. You're delinquent in your funds. My, you know, you say you want healing, but you know, you haven't done enough. You haven't done enough good works this week to deserve that. It's a finished work. Oh my, how could you ever be saved? Look at what your life was. Look at all the things that you did, all the filthy little things back through your life. Why would God ever save you? Why do you think God would ever meet you at an altar and save you somewhere? He don't have to meet me. He already saved me. He was just mindful enough of me to help me to recognize it in an altar one time.
He didn't have to come and save me. He had already saved me. He just opened my eyes to see what he had already did. Amen. Aren't you thankful for eyes to see and ears to hear? Amen. Let's sing this together. Whatever you have need of tonight. Oh, it's already done. Hallelujah. It's already done. We praise your name. Lord, this battle is over. My victory is won. It's already done. You say, but the doctor said this. Oh, but it's already done. Oh, hallelujah. I know it's already done. We praise your name. Lord, my battle is over. Victory is won. Oh, it's already done. Let's sing it this way tonight. I'm already here.
Already done. praise your name. The battle is over. The victory is won. It's already done. You don't know what my family's living like, but it's already done. Oh, it's already done. Hallelujah. It's already done. He's just waiting on you to believe it. Praise your name. The battle is over. The victory is won. It's already done. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Too busy. Oh, He hears your heart's cry. Yes, you do, Lord. Oh, He's passing by this moment. Your need to supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord. He is past. I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short, but you can reach me too. And as I pray and press my way into your kingdom true, I grow to be more like you just by reaching out to you. Oh, I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short, but I can reach me too. And as I pray and press my way into your kingdom true, I'll grow to be more like you just by reaching out to you. I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short, and you can reach me too.
As I pray, press my way into your kingdom true, I'll grow to be more like you just by reaching out to you.
Amen. Sister Cheryl came up. She just wanted to testify that today she wasn't feeling well. Amen. The Lord laid her on my heart that way. She said she's feeling better now. So praise the Lord. Amen. Sometimes we don't know what he's doing, but he knows what he's doing. Amen. Sometimes we don't understand, but you just listen to that still small voice. Brother Branham said, how do you know if it's God? He said it'll be a scriptural voice. It won't lead you away from anything in the scripture. But amen. Certainly good to be in service and be in his presence. Certainly good to see what he's doing for his bride, and just believing that those that came up tonight for prayer, that God's going to move on these situations. Amen. We agree together as a body of Jesus Christ. We've read the word. Amen. We believe the word tonight, and we believe that it'll come to pass. It doesn't always come to pass the way that we think that it's all going to work out, but he always works it out for our good. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing this together.
Oh, you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Not bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame. For the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. So you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. No, you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame, for the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. God bless you tonight. You can be dismissed. Let's sing it as we go. No, you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame, for the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. Oh, you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Oh, you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.